Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Preaching in parables. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those that have come tonight through the sand and the wind. And we thank you, Lord, for this time to gather together and get a midweek meal of your word, the milk, the meat, and the manna of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for those that are watching on YouTube tonight. Bless them as well. We also continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we do pray for them, Lord. They are the apple of your eye. We also pray for the whole Middle East right now. It just seems to be a powder keg. And the fuse is getting shorter. We know the rest of the story and how the Battle of Armageddon is going to come and all of those things that Scripture tells us are going to come to pass. So may we continue in prayer for the Jews as well as their enemies. You tell us to love our enemies and pray for them as well. We pray for all of those involved over there that they would come to know you as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so tonight, Lord, lead us and guide us in all truth. As we look at the parables, may we have good soil in our hearts to receive the seed, which is your word, and may we bear much fruit. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have preaching in parables tonight. Parable is an interesting word. Parabole in Greek. Para means to bring beside. And bole means to cast. Para means beside. And bole means to cast. And in Hebrew, it's machal, meaning a proverbial saying or a byword. And it occurs 46 times in the New Testament and 15 times in the Old Testament. And what it is, it's a word picture. It's a story that gives us a spiritual truth. Para, the side, and to cast something next to it. And Jesus uses physical examples of spiritual truths when he's teaching. And that's what we're going to see here through our whole chapter tonight. A parable is a method of instruction revealing spiritual truths to the spiritual, while it conceals the meaning from others who are not born again and who reject Jesus. The Bible very clearly says that the natural man or the natural woman who is unregenerate, who doesn't know the Lord, cannot understand spiritual things. And the Lord is not putting them down. He's challenging them to seek out the truth, the Messiah, which he is, the way, the truth, and the life. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, an incredible thing happens, and I've experienced this myself. Prior to my conversion, I tried to read the Bible a number of times, and it was like reading someone else's mail. But yet when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit came in and sealed me for the day of redemption, all of a sudden when I read the Bible, it was like God was speaking to me. And that's what the Bible is all about. We don't read the Bible to find out what we can just hammer other people with. We read the Bible so that we can hear God speak to us. And so a parable is a method of instruction, spiritual truths. Here in Matthew 13 tonight, Jesus leaves the house that he was teaching in back in chapter 12, where there was a demoniac, where he set the man free of a demon, and he gets into a boat along the shore of the sea, which is the Sea of Galilee. He sits down and teaches as the multitude of people stand on the shore listening. He now preaches to them in parables. Isn't it incredible how God created the heavens and the earth? The Lord was there, of course, to do so. And how Jesus picks the perfect place to preach so that he can be heard over water. You ever go out fishing and hear somebody talking about 200 yards away and they're just talking in a normal tone? Well, Jesus picked the first place to push offshore in a boat and talk over the water so his voice could carry up to the multitude that was standing there. Amazing. And that's the way that God works. Even the Sermon on the Mount was in an area that I visited a number of times in Israel, and it's a little concave area, which again, when Jesus stood and taught the Beatitudes, that he was able to be heard by everyone there. And so here tonight, in the first nine verses, he's going to preach on parables, and this is what the word of the Lord says. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, Sea of Galilee, and great multitudes were gathering together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in paraboles, in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." How many times have you heard me open up in prayer, be it Sunday or Wednesday, and challenge everyone to make sure you have good soil in your heart? Get the weeds out, get the rocks out, get the hardness out, so that we can receive and so that we can bear much fruit. Also, many times I prayed, "Lord, give us ears to hear." Why? Because you can have two ears and hear perfectly, but yet not hear what the Holy Spirit has for you. And so here Jesus sits in a boat just off the shore of Galilee, which is a natural amphitheater, like I said, and which he used to teach the multitude who stood on the shore. They had to stand. They didn't have comfortable seats or pews to sit on. They stood there many times, like in the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, they had been without the word of God for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, when they got the word back in Jerusalem, they went into the temple, the people stood from sun up to midday to hear the word of God. I wonder how many people would do that today, would stand up for 6 hours or so, standing there listening to the word of God. Some people get antsy and uncomfortable after 10 minutes of preaching, sitting in a comfortable chair. We're spoiled. We're really spoiled. One of the many things I love about this fellowship, I've had one complaint in the whole time we've been in the temple about the message. Believe it or not, that it was too short. Wow. Can you believe that? That's a blessing. Because people in this fellowship love the Word of God. And it's not the teacher. I'm just the mailman. I just deliver the mail. And it's the Word of God that we need. It's the Word of God in good soil that we need, that would get deeply rooted within our hearts, that we would bear much fruit. And that should be the desire of our heart when we sit and open our Bibles. Lord, I want to bear much fruit. Lord, take your word, which is like seed, and deeply plant it within that good soil so that I could bear much fruit, 160 and 30. And so the first parable is that of a sower or a farmer. Again, it's a physical example of a spiritual truth, as we will see. They lived in an agrarian culture. Agrarian, of course, refers to agriculture. Farmers, and they were very much familiar with farming, the planting of seeds. And that's why Jesus uses this physical example of a spiritual truth to these people, talking about the sowing of seed, farming, because he knew that they would fully grasp and understand what he talked about. Physically, when the farmer, the sower, went out to sow the seed, there were four results. We see the first result in verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, And the birds came and devoured them. The wayside. What is the wayside? That's the footpath. And people walked on the path, on the dirt, and it got so hard that when the seed was scattered, the seed that landed by the wayside just laid there. The ground was packed down. And since it was hard packed, it just laid there and it became birdseed. It didn't penetrate the soil, and it was eaten by the birds. And he's talking about the human heart here. People can come through the doors of the church with a hard heart. That's why, as you've heard me share that a million times, before you get out of your car, before you come through the doors of the church, prepare your heart. Lord, if there be any hardness, please plow it up. You know, if there be any rocks, get them out. We need to do gardening before we sit and open our Bibles. Any weeds that would choke out the word, Lord, get rid of the weeds. I want good soil so that I can receive. And that's my heart cry and my prayer when I open the Bible, when I want to, you know, prepare a message, or when I'm receiving the word of God. Lord, make sure that the soil in my heart is rich. Don't let me be a bird feeder. That's the first group, by the wayside. These were bird feeders. How sad. The second one, in verse 5, we see that some fell on stony places, he says, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And what he's talking about here is rocky soil, where there was rocks below the surface and just a thin layer of soil, you know. And the seed sprouted up quickly because when there are rocks in the soil, it has an incubating effect and it makes the seed sprout quicker. And so here we see, oh, it sprouted up quickly through this incubation, if you would. But because of the rocks, there was no root. It could not take root. And it was scorched by the sun and withered away. That's the second type. And another thing we need to do is get the rocks out, get the stones out of our hearts before we listen to God's word. In verse 7, we have the third example. Some of the seed fell on the thorns, it said, or the weeds. I'm sure that most of us in this place that have ever done any gardening have noticed that the weeds grow faster than the seeds sometimes. You ever notice that? And sometimes it's hard to distinguish the weeds from the sprouts. And what we see here, this third example, is the thorns or the weeds are growing up, and they spring up, and as you've seen physically, if you've done any gardening, is the weeds choke out the sprouts, the seeds. And again, what happens there? It's like it just chokes them out completely. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others, verse 8, fell on good ground and yielded a crop, verse 8, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so example number 4 that we find here, some fell on good ground, good, rich soil. And what happened? It yielded a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And so that should be our heart's desire, that we would have good, rich soil, that the seed of God's word would be deeply rooted and grounded and planted within our hearts so that we could bear 100, 60, and 30-fold fruit in our lives. After the example of the four results, notice what he says in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. People read that and go, what? What's that all about? Well, this is extremely important. If you got ears to hear, listen up. This is extremely important to those who were listening then and those of us who are listening tonight. Physically, human ears hear many different sounds, don't we? especially when we try to go to sleep at night. Roof creaks, neighbors party, and whatever. Our ears don't miss anything physically. But what Jesus is saying here is that there's a deeper kind of listening that takes place, spiritual listening, spiritual understanding. A person can have perfect physical hearing and be deaf spiritually. Why? Because the person of the Holy Spirit is not in their heart. And again, the Bible says that the natural man or woman cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are deaf spiritually. But on the other hand, a person who is completely deaf can understand spiritually. They can read the Word of God and it will speak to them. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That is so important, isn't it? So important to be able to have ears that hear. Standing there on the shoreline were those who understood spiritually. They had ears to hear. And others who wondered, why are we getting a lesson on farming today? I came to hear from God. They didn't understand spiritually that that was God that was sitting in the boat speaking to them and giving them the word, a parabole, a parable, a physical example of a spiritual truth. And it's so true today. I believe in every church service you have four types of soil in the group. You don't know. I don't know. That's not up to me to know. All it's up to me to do is to scatter the seed. That's all I can do. Some lands on hard soil, some lands on rocky soil, some lands amongst the weeds, and some lands on good soil. It's not up to me to determine where a person's heart is. It is up to that person to make sure that their heart is ready to receive what the Lord has. Now, in a moment, we're going to see in verses 18 to 23 that Jesus is going to give us the spiritual interpretation, which I pretty much did a moment ago. But just before he does, he's going to give his disciples the reason for his teaching in parables. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Notice they didn't say, why do you speak to us in parables? They knew. But why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has been not given. That's pretty heavy, huh? He's speaking of the secret or the hidden truths of the word. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? But you know what he's doing? He's quoting from Isaiah. Because there are people that have 20/20 physical vision that cannot see spiritual things and can hear perfectly and cannot hear spiritual things. But you can be blind and understand spiritual things, see spiritually, and you can be deaf if you're born again and you can hear spiritual things. And then he says in it, verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And so what Jesus is doing, again, proving that he is the Messiah, he is fulfilling what Isaiah wrote. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Turn, of course, means to do an about face. It's the same meaning as repentance. And his heart's desire is that they would turn to him and be born again so they could heal them, their hearts, and so they could understand spiritual things. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Amazing. You people in this room that are born again tonight are blessed. You have blessed eyes. That's what he says here. You have blessed ears because you can see spiritual things and you can hear spiritual things. So here's his disciples. They come and he asked, why do you speak to them in parables, paraboles? And his response is, to you, as believers, it has been given the ability to understand spiritual truths, the hidden truths of the kingdom of heaven. And that should cause us to rejoice. And sometimes we take it for granted that we have Bibles and we can read it and God speaks to us. We can understand spiritual things. That should cause us to rejoice. Hallelujah. Why? Because I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I once was lost and on my way to hell. But Jesus Christ saved this wretch here. And he gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. The natural man, again, cannot understand spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14. To them, he says, it has not been given to those who it has been given, meaning the truth of the kingdom of heaven, more shall be given. And isn't that true? Here we are. I don't care if you've been a believer a week, 10 years, 50 years. We are always learning. This is the most incredible book on the planet because there's always things that God shows us every time we pick up his word. Every time we have good soil, and every time that seed penetrates and gets into the good soil and bears much fruit, this is the most incredible book because every time we read it, God speaks to us spiritual truths. And he's going to give us more and more and more spiritual truths all the way to heaven. On the other hand, those who do not have what little light they have will be taken away. How sad. That's why you should not be surprised. We've all been there. When we are sharing spiritual things with unbelievers and they look at you like a deer in the headlights. What are you talking about? But don't let that cause you not to share the word. God's word, my Bible tells me, never returns void. It accomplishes the purpose that God sent it forth to accomplish. Just think about it in your own personal life, in your BC days. Maybe someone came along and shared some things out of the Bible. It's like, I'm not ready for that. I don't want religion. And I used to always say, it's not religion, it's a relationship. But yet, down the road, I can remember the things that they told me. And down the road, all of a sudden, these things came to the light, and all of a sudden it made sense because God's word does not return void. He's caused us to plant. He causes us to water and let him, the Lord, the Bible says, brings forth the growth. So don't let that hinder you from sharing the truth of God's word with people. My Bible tells me, and you know, that God's word does not return void. So that doesn't mean we preach at people and yell and scream at people. But the Bible very clearly says we're to speak the truth in love. And we don't always have to quote chapter and verse. Just give them the word. Just give them the word of God. Jesus says, as he quotes from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 here, that's what we have in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says in verses 14 and 15 that they're seeing physically, but they do not see spiritually. They're hearing physically, but they do not hear spiritually, which, again, is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He says their hearts have grown dull. Their ears are deaf. Their eyes are closed. But again, don't let that stop us from loving them and sharing the truth with them, speaking the truth in love. At the same time, yeah, we see the negative, but what I love about the preaching of Jesus Christ, he gives us the negative as well as the positive. And the positive is this: blessed are your eyes. So tomorrow morning when you're shaving, guys, or ladies, when you're putting your makeup on in the mirror, go, wow, my eyes are blessed. Yeah, because we can see. Next time you get the Q-tip out and getting the wax out there, thank God that you have ears to hear, because the spiritual earwax is gone. When we get saved, that which hindered us from hearing is gone. They were tremendously blessed because they were seeing and hearing what many in the Old Testament desired to see and to hear, but they didn't get to see it. They prophesied it, but now these people here that we see here tonight, as well as you and I reading the Bible, are seeing and hearing things that they wish they could see. And we who are born again are able to see and hear today. Amazing, isn't it? When God speaks to us through his word, and we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And again, just a reminder here tonight, before you open your Bible, before you read your Bible, pray. Lord, if there's anything that would hinder, we know scripturally it says that we have the ability to quench and to grieve the Holy Spirit by our sin. So we have to be very, very careful. Lord, make sure that you get rid of the sin in your heart or in your mind, wherever it is. Cleanse me, Lord. Purify my heart, my mind, my soul through the blood of your Son that was shed for me. And then, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to tell me today. Tina gave me a great chapter to read this morning. I get up, I'm drinking my coffee. She says, you know what? Psalm 83 speaks about what's going on in Israel right now. Yeah, heavy stuff. And I read it, and guess what? Right on target. And again, wow, I had eyes to see and ears to hear what God was saying about what is going on today. Amazing. And so we who are born again are able to see and hear. But again, at times, sometimes after a length of time being a believer, we take it for granted. Sad. We should be thankful. We should rejoice. We have eyes to see and ears to hear. And Jesus is now going to explain the spiritual truths of the parable that we just saw of the sower in the seed. Look at verses 18 to 23. Therefore, whenever we see that word therefore, we ask, what is it there for? It points back to that which was previously said. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone... Notice, I've got that underlined. Anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Whoa. Notice. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And that can be those that come to church and they get all excited about the word. They go out the door and forget what they heard. The enemy steals the seed away. It doesn't get rooted and grounded in their heart. Now he who received the seed, verse 22, among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That is so true today. It's a battle. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The world, the flesh, the devil. As believers, we have to deal with that stuff every day. It tries to draw our hearts away. It tries to steal the seed out of our hearts. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And it becomes unfruitful. So again, we have to guard our hearts and minds. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so here we see, don't we, what happens with those who hear the word of God, and those who have good soil, and those who receive it. We bear much fruit. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and my word in you, and you will bear much fruit. What fruit's he talking about? The fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, all the wonderful fruits that are listed in the book of Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit that riches of the world can't buy. The world knows nothing about. My generation was the peace generation. Peace, brother. There's nothing peaceful about that generation. Only the Lord can give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace in your soul. And that's what happens when you give your life to the Lord. The world out there can't find joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a dishwashing liquid. It's a fruit of the Spirit. They can find happiness, if you would, at times, for a short period of time. I used to find happiness through distilled spirits until I drank of the living water of the Holy Spirit. And I've never thirsted again. You've heard my testimony. 42 years, not one drop. Praise God. And I've got joy that is incredible. And it's not just when things are going well. As a believer, we can have joy through the most difficult times in our life. Joy knowing that the Lord is with us. Joy knowing that the Lord is going to see us through. In the Old Testament, the Lord didn't remove the Red Sea. He parted it for Moses and led them through it. God doesn't remove our trials in this life, but he does part it and he takes us through every step of the way. Because he promises to never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of the age. He's always there with us. Love. There's four words for love. Agape, eros, phileo, and storge. Storge is a family love. Phileo is a brotherly love. That's high five. What's up, bro? That's where Philadelphia gets its name, the city of brotherly love. Eros. The sex, a physical love between a husband and a wife. I repeat, between a husband and a wife is what the Bible says. And then, of course, agape love, which the world does not get. They cannot comprehend unconditional love. Agape love. That's the love from above, I call it. And that's when we come to know the Lord, he gives us agape love, unconditional love. We can love one another, we can love our neighbors, and he also gives us the ability to love our enemies. Yeah. And so here we see the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, in verses 24 to 30 is the parable of the wheat and the tares. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and to gather them up? He said, no, lest you gather up the tares, while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And again, here we have another parabole, another parable. And again, we see light and we see darkness together in the same parable. The wheat, of course, is the believer. The tares or the weeds are the unbelievers. The man sowed good seed in his field, but when he went to sleep, guess what? The enemy came in while he slept and planted weeds. Interesting. He's still at work doing that today, isn't he? Planting weeds in the church amongst believers. When the servants saw that the tares were sprouting up in the field, they wanted to pull them up. But the farmer told them to wait, lest they pull up the wheat with the tares. And again, it's so important to realize and to recognize. It's so intertwined with the wheat that if you pulled up the tares, the wheat would be pulled up as well. What a wonderful parable this is as well. He said, let them both grow together until the harvest. Then the tares will be thrown into the fire, hello, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn. What's he talking about? He's talking about end times, where the tares will be gathered up and they will be thrown into the fire, into the lake of fire, and the wheat will be gathered and we will be drawn into the barn, if you would, the house of the Lord. Jesus is going to give us more details on this parable again when we get to verse 37 to 43. But in the meantime, look at verse 31 and 32. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it had grown, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So here we see the mustard seed. At this particular time, they were very much familiar with the mustard seed. It's the tiniest of seeds. And this represents the humble beginnings of the kingdom. At first, it was really small, but it began to grow. And that's what happened when the word of God went out. Christ was resurrected. The apostles went out, scattered the seed. Churches were planted. They began to grow. But at the same time, the birds come, and the birds, of course, represent evil, and they began to nest in its branches. Interesting. Meaning that the enemy has pretty good church attendance as well. He will nest in the tree, in the branches. And here the Lord warns of those that would deny Christ and that would be nesting in the church. False teachers. Look at some of the churches today. There are churches that claim to be Christian churches that have false prophets in the pulpit, false teachers. They don't teach the word. They're like the birds. Some of these churches are mega churches. I'm not going to name any names, but they don't preach the truth of God's word. We need to preach all of God's word. And this incredible book, it's not all about feeling good about yourself. You know when I feel good about myself? Is when I know that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. That's when I feel good. I need the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. And yes, there are other scriptures. I shared one tonight, Psalm 139:17, that really blessed my heart. But you know what? We need all of God's word. We need to be convicted so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't water down the gospel. And you've heard me share many times, every pastor is going to have to give an account for what they teach. Yeah. I don't worry about what people think of the sermons that I preach. Why? Because I learned early on by a pastor by the name of Skip Heitzig that I preach before an audience of one. And there's only one that I desire to please, and that's him. And that's by delivering his word the best of my ability. You know, and I shared with somebody Sunday, they enjoyed the message, and I said, God still speaks through donkeys today, you know. Just a vessel, just a wretched sinner saved by the grace of God that God has allowed me to deliver the mail. But there are birds nesting in churches today. Yeah, the enemy nesting in its branches. Here the Lord warns of those that would nest in the church. And the warning here is to beware of unhealthy growth and deception. That's why we pass out Bibles here. That's why we make sure everybody has a Bible in their lap, so that we can go through it together. So you can hold my feet to the fire. It's so, so important to be accurate. Because again, James 3:1, not many should teach, because you will receive a stricter judgment. So there's some churches today that are for the birds. Anyway, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Leaven in the Bible speaks of evil. And the Lord warns of leaven here in the meal, in the manna of God's word. And this woman, notice what she did. She hid. She took and hid 3 measures of leaven in the meal until it was all leavened. And the Bible very clearly says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And again, it's a warning about defiling the word of God, God's word. The woman was a false prophetess, and she was adulterating the word of God. I know this offends some people today, but the scripture says that there are not to be women pastors in the church. The Bible gives the qualifications for those that are pastors, teachers, evangelists. And one of the things it says very clearly is the husband of one wife. And it's very clear that, yes, there are some incredibly important ministries in the church for women, but pastors are supposed to be men to preach the word of God. Verse 34 and 35. Notice. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so here we see that it's a confirmation that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, is fulfilling prophecy by teaching the parables. This is a fulfillment of Psalm 78, verse 2, that the Messiah would open his mouth in parables and utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And again, spiritual truths, speaking them to the people. Now, in verses 38 to 43, Jesus will explain the parable of the wheat and the tares. So this is what the word of the Lord says, verse 38. Wait, where am I here? 36. Aha, false teacher. 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. God's word, good seed. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Every word, every cross T, every yacht, every tittle is given by the inspiration of God. And so he says to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares, the weeds, are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And again, the world is filled with believers and unbelievers, with wheat and tare. And one day at the end of the age, the angels are going to come, and they're going to cast the unbelievers, Satan and his angels and the unbelievers, into the lake of fire. Heavy stuff. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We see that in the book of Revelation, don't we? We see weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire. That's the devil and his weeds, his tares, if you would, at the end of the age. Then the righteous. Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. We are robed in his righteousness. It's not by works, not by any good thing we can do to merit salvation. It's by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What's that going to be like? We're going to shine forth one day in the kingdom of our Father. We talked about that Sunday. Is that he who has the Son has the Father also. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. There's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ and him alone. Nobody else. Not Buddha, not Mary. There's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ and him alone, period. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And one day we're going to shine in the kingdom of our Father. We can call him Father, Abba, Daddy. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. And again, the Lord says, listen up. This is important, would you say? The wheat and the tare. Really, really important stuff. You don't want to be a tare. You want to be part of the wheat, the kingdom of heaven, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone, by repenting of your sins and giving your life to the Lord. And then you will shine one day as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And again, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, these things? All the promises of heaven, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, and we're going to shine. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. And again, as I said before, in these carnal minds, in these fleshly human minds and human thinking, just try to imagine what eternity is. I can't even fathom eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here on this earth, man, we hear someone turns 100, 105, 110, whoa, that's a long life, right? No. We have eternal life. And to be absent from this body, we're going to be present with the Lord one day. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. That's why I love when we sing Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. 10,000 years! There'll be no birthday cakes in heaven. Imagine a birthday cake with 10,000 candles on it. Bad enough at my age, I set the smoke alarms off in my house just by my birthday cake. Crazy, isn't it? Yeah, but we're going to shine one day in the kingdom of our Father. And again, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Do you hear what the Lord is saying tonight? Do you have ears to hear? This is so, so, so important. Verse 44. We're getting there. Notice. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Interesting, isn't it? What he's saying here is the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything we could ever, ever, ever possess on this earth. Sometimes we forget what Jesus said. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered into the mind of man, those things that God has prepared for those who love him. Amazing. Amazing. Heaven, You know, we're not going to be laying on a cloud playing a harp for eternity, floating around. No. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything we could ever possess here on earth. It's okay to have possessions, but don't allow your possessions to possess you. Keep a loose grip on everything. Everything. It's like the world says, here today, gone tomorrow. A person must be willing, as we see here in these two parables, to give up everything to possess it. Is there anything that you would not give up for heaven? Is there anything in your life that you have such a grip on? Mine. It's interesting. That's one of the first words babies ever learn. Mine. They're little sinners when they're born. Mine. You know? And sadly enough, there's some adults, same way. Keep a loose grip. Enjoy what God has blessed you with. But you know what? There's absolutely nothing in this world that we should not be willing to give up for the kingdom of heaven. All right, verse 47, parable of the dragnet. We're not talking about Sergeant Friday here. Some of you old folks remember that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be, notice again, at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. You know, it's not by coincidence that the Lord, three times in these parables, talks about judgment at the end of the age. Why? Because he wants us to have ears to hear. Do you hear what he's saying here today? Judgment's coming. I know there's a lot of people concerned about Israel. I'm concerned about Israel because I know what Scripture says. That's a sign of the end times. Surrounded by her enemies. Magog from the north. Million man army. You know the story. Third temple. Red heifer. It's all right there. Hidden in plain sight. But you don't hear any of these Scripture verses on the news. Matter of fact, on the local news, they didn't even talk about war in Israel for 3 days. And finally I saw it when I looked at my phone. But we as believers know we're close, closer than ever before. I was sharing with someone this evening that Scripture says that when Israel became a nation again, that generation would see the return of the Lord. That's my generation. It happened in 1948. Yep, I'm not going to tell you what year I was born. But this is the generation, I believe, that's going to see the return of the Lord. Like I say, don't buy green bananas. Be ready. That's the bottom line with every message I've been preaching lately. Are you ready to meet the Lord right now, whether it's through death's door or whether it's through the rapture of the church? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Are you wheat or are you tare? That's the challenge. Do you have ears to hear? Or are you deaf? Do you have eyes to see? Or are you spiritually blind? And I'm not judging you or condemning you. I'm saying this in love because I love you and I want everybody I know and everybody on YouTube and everybody in this place to go to heaven. That's why you need to pray for me for Sunday. Sunday's message is on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not going to win a popularity contest on Sunday, but it's the truth of God's word, and I refuse to compromise on the word of God. But yet again, I'm not going to, in anger, condemn anybody, but I'm going to speak the truth in love, in agape love, because I love the Lord. I love my neighbors. I love my friends, relatives, loved ones, and I love my enemies. Never in my Christian life have I had this heart desire to love the unlovely, to love my enemies like never before. And I think it's because we're close to the return of the Lord. People need to be loved to life. They don't need to be beaten to death. Were you beaten into the kingdom of heaven? My Bible tells me it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. His goodness, His grace, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His blood. And so here we see, wow, heavy stuff, that the dragnet's going to come. And the angels are going to separate them, some into the lake of fire, some to heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And what a glorious day that is going to be. Continuing on. Now it came to pass, verse 53, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" So here he comes now, back to his own town where he dwelt. He goes into the synagogue, and he's preaching the word of God. And they're going, "Man, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" But look how their attitudes change. "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. His own town, where he grew up. His own hometown. They had watched him grow up as a young child. The residents of his own town had known him since he was a little kid. The only scripture we find in the Gospels about when he was a youth is when he was in the synagogue and talking with the religious leaders. They were blown away at the wisdom and knowledge that this kid had. And it wasn't until he was 30 or so that he began his ministry as the Messiah. Now, they did not receive his message because they couldn't see beyond the man. They call him a man. When this is their Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus was in good company, as many prophets were rejected themselves in their own hometown. Scripture says that a prophet receives no honor in his own hometown. And that's the case here. How sad that they missed the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who grew up in their own town. And Jesus, it says here, did few miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. How sad. Unbelief, again, we'll go back to the beginning of our chapter. Unbelief blinds people. Unbelief makes people deaf. And the very people in the town in which he grew up in were blind and deaf. That's crazy. They couldn't see their own Messiah, nor could they understand his words. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these wonderful parables, spiritual truths, physical examples of spiritual truths. And I pray, Lord, that every time we open your word, that we would do the work that needs to be done. Get rid of the hard soil, get rid of the rocks, the weeds. Prepare our hearts to receive good seed so that we can bear much fruit, Lord. That is your desire, is that we would bear much fruit. Would you help us to do that? Also, help us to be sensitive to those that are tares, those that are unbelievers. May we love them, minister to them, pray for them, and just share your word with them, knowing and believing that your word never returns void. Would you do that, please? Give us your heart. Give us your compassion. Lord, give us more of your seed in our own hearts that we would bear much fruit. Would you do that, please? And we thank you for these spiritual truths here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.